Thanks, Jonga, and a blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, April 29th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Posts and Telecommunications Regulatory Authority of Zimbabwe has cancelled Telecel Zimbabwe's license to provide national cellular telecommunications services in the country.
Those who are on that platform are likely to face some challenges and difficulties in terms of sustenance and subsistence of service going forward. Clearly, the remedies and reliefs that they could pursue.
President Robert Mugabe says foreigners in South Africa should leave that country as some of them, including Zimbabwe's Kalangas, are engaged in criminal activities.
The Kalangas were very notorious. They're not educated enough to assume my jobs.
And former Urungwe West Member of Parliament Themba Muliswa is threatening to take top ZANU-PF officials to the International Criminal Court for gross human rights abuses.
I now see the need for the ICC because we cannot allow these African leaders to get away with murder by killing people, by abusing people, and not being brought to book.
Telecel Zimbabwe says it has been notified by the Postal and Telecommunications Regulatory Authority of Zimbabwe, or POTRAS, of the cancellation of its license to provide national cellular telecommunications services in the country. The company said in a statement that the measure is unfair and unwarranted. The government says the cellular network has not been paying required license fees. But Telecel said today it has made every effort to comply with all legal and governmental requirements in Zimbabwe and objects to this treatment in the strongest terms. Telecel and its global shareholders are taking immediate action both locally and internationally to challenge this decision, the company said, as it assured its customers and stakeholders that it will take all possible steps to maintain the full range of its services throughout the process. Commenting, lawmaker Nelson Chamisa, who's also the Information Communication Technology Committee Chairman in Parliament, said the move will affect millions of subscribers who rely on the network.
The net effect and the net meaning of this development is that Telecel is no longer in business lawfully and legally. Meaning to say that those who are on that platform are likely to face some challenges and difficulties in terms of sustenance and subsistence of service going forward. Clearly, the remedies and reliefs that they could pursue, chief among them is to engage POTRAS to seek the repudiation or refiling of POTRAS on that decision, or they could also pursue legal matters and legal avenues that could be explored. But more importantly, they could go to the policymakers, either in government or lawmakers through the portfolio committee, appeal if there's a very genuine case. Because when you look at Telecel, it's something that is going to disadvantage and inconvenience citizens. And on that basis, there are elements of the constitution there, certain rights and freedoms that are being put in moral or in context, and those things have to be examined. There's also the element of just good public policy.
Has Telecel in itself tried to come to Parliament to explain its case, since this case has been going on for a while now between the government and Telecel?
Indeed, we had a penciled and scheduled meeting that we were supposed to undertake and have some few weeks ago. Unfortunately, Parliament abruptly entered into a recess or some short break, which I guess is somehow contributed to the compounding of their misfortunes.
That was lawmaker Nelson Chamisa, who's also the ICT committee chairperson in Harare.
A President Robert Mugabe says foreigners in South Africa should leave that country, as some of them, including Zimbabwe's Kalangas, are engaging in criminal activities. Addressing journalists in Zimbabwe today, after the end of the Southern African Development Community Extraordinary Summit in Harare, Mr. Mugabe said most foreigners are causing havoc in South Africa, where there was an outbreak of xenophobic attacks recently, which left 7 people dead. The president had this to say about some Zimbabweans living in South Africa, where President Jacob Zuma said recently South Africa is not solely to blame for the violence against foreigners.
The minister was telling me the other day, Minister of Foreign Affairs, he said one of his 3 nephews came back home. And he asked him, what are the others doing who have remained, the other 2 who remained? The minister said, And they are not the only ones. That's what happened. Utsotsi, Okuba. The Kalangas were very notorious. South Africa, they're not educated enough to assume my jobs.
Reacting to Mr. Mugabe's remarks, Zenzele Ndebele, who is a media expert, who is also a Kalanga, said the president is wrong.
I mean, as a Kalanga myself, I find that the biggest insult that can come from a president. Actually, sometimes you wonder, what would go in the president's mind for him to say such things? But, I mean, forgive him. He's a 91-year-old man who has known nothing but misrule for the 31 years. So I will ask myself that what he's saying, is it based on facts? Or maybe Simon Kaya, who has been close to him for a while, who is Kalanga himself, is the one who shared that information for him. And remind the president that when he said Gukuraund was a moment of madness, we thought it was really a moment of madness, and we forgave him for what he had done. But if he's coming back now at his age and saying such things, I find that really insulting.
He also says young people in Matabeleland are flocking to South Africa because it's fashionable. Do you agree?
I mean, there is nothing fashionable about going to South Africa. The reasons why Zimbabweans are going to South Africa, the reasons why people from Plumtree are going to South Africa is because they are running away from Mugabe's misrule. They are running away from Mugabe's brutal regime. They are running away from the economic meltdown presided over by President Robert Mugabe, who has ruled Zimbabwe for 35 years, and there is nothing that is coming out of this country.
That was Zenzele Ndebele, a media expert and Kalanga, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Meanwhile, President Mugabe also told the SADC Extraordinary Summit today that there is need for Africans to start adding value to their raw materials. Our reporter Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Officiating at the opening of the SADC Extraordinary Summit, focusing on industrialization, SADC Chairperson and President of Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe, said Southern Africa is losing a lot of money by exporting raw materials. Mr. Mugabe said it is imperative to reverse this trend in order to achieve self-sustaining development in the SADC region.
By exporting our natural resources in their raw form, we are not only earning marginal benefits from them, but are in essence compromising our efforts to create jobs or diversify our products or even develop our industries, and thus ultimately exposing our economies to the vagaries of the fluctuations of the global resource markets.
Mr. Mugabe said SADC should come up with an industrial policy that prioritizes value addition and beneficiation.
It is therefore evident that our focus on reducing and eliminating tariffs has not brought about the intended socioeconomic development and well-being of our people. There is therefore need for collective action on our part to put in place effective strategies to boost the productive capacity of our industries.
Meanwhile, SADC's Executive Secretary Stegomena Lawrence Tex said re-industrializing economies in Southern Africa would help in revitalizing the region's economy.
In order to achieve the feat we have set for ourselves, it is clear that the region is embarking on a long-term project of economic and social transformation to be supported by concerted efforts and a commitment during the three-phase duration of 2015 to 2063.
However, Levi Kadenge, president of the Zimbabwe Economic Society, said this can only be achieved if governments in Southern Africa embrace the policies that attract foreign direct investment.
We must have policies which can attract foreign direct investment. We've had a lot of complaints that no one will actually invest in a country where you are expected to have a minority shareholding in an organization, and the people who are supposed to put money there are not there. So our policies, and then two, consistency in policies as well. Recently, when the Minister of Finance saying, people are not going to get bonuses for the next 2 years. And then a week later, the president comes up and says, no, this is nonsense, this doesn't make sense.
At the end of the summit, the SADC leaders are expected to come up with a plan that would ensure re-industrialization in Southern Africa. Leaders attending the SADC summit for the first time since their election into office are Zambian President Edgar Lungu, Mozambican President Filipe Nyusi, Namibia's Hage Geingob, and Lesotho's Prime Minister Phakalitha Mosesili. The SADC Extraordinary Summit that ends tonight is being held under the theme Regional Strategy and Roadmap for Industrialization. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
A former Hurungwe West Member of Parliament Themba Mliswa is threatening to take ZANU-PF Secretary for Administration Ignatius Chombo and ruling party Central Committee member Philip Chiangwa to the International Criminal Court for gross human rights abuses. Mliswa was expelled from ZANU-PF for his alleged links to ousted former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. Mliswa is campaigning as an independent in the forthcoming parliamentary by-elections, and his farm has been seized by alleged ZANU-PF members. Studio 7 sources in the constituency say state security agents have been deployed in the area to intimidate voters ahead of the June 10 by-election. A video has been leaked to Studio 7 showing Chombo and Chiangwa addressing villagers and threatening them not to vote for Mliswa. Chombo is also heard saying he had expelled some headmen for backing Mliswa.
He further said he will deploy at least three people to monitor the activities of all headmen until elections are held. The threats are made in front of some police officers. Efforts to get a comment from Chombo were futile as his phone went unanswered. But Chiangwa said he would not comment on the allegations alleging that Mliswa is a psychological problem. Mliswa tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Hurungwe West is tense.
I'm not happy with the situation in Hurungwe West currently. There is violence, it's mad with violence, and unfortunately it's being spearheaded by senior members of the ruling party, ZANU-PF. And more so, each time the Secretary for Administration, Kwame Chombo, has visited Hurungwe West, there's been violence. The last time he visited, he had instructed the ZANU-PF youth to come and beat me up at the shopping center because they've not attracted many people to their meetings and they are naturally not attracting many people. That has created despondency amongst them, thinking that I'm the one who's causing it and in so doing, I must be targeted. He's on record on having said that people must go for my head.
On the issue of violence, we reached Mr. Chiangwa, who alleged that he is not promoting violence in the constituency. In fact, he has never been there. And he's also alleging that, in fact, Mr. Mliswa, he has lost his marbles and he must go to a psychiatric hospital.
That is Philip Chiangwa for you. Unfortunately, he has a record of creating a top six, which was a militia, which used to beat people around. I mean, he must tell us, was he involved in it, was he not involved in it? Now I now see the need for the ICC, because you cannot allow these African leaders to get away with murder by killing people, by abusing people, and not being brought to book. I've told them that I'm pursuing this matter seriously, and through the right channels, it will get to the ICC.
That was Urungwe West independent candidate Themba Mliswa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
A Day the Bible Continues television series star Chipo Chung speaks to Studio 7 on acting and what it means to be a Zimbabwean.
And a closer look at people living with disabilities.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Global press freedom declined last year to its lowest level in more than a decade, according to a report issued today by an international human rights monitoring organization.
The worst offenders on the organization's ranking of 199 nations of or territories were North Korea, Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, Belarus, Cuba, Syria, Iran, and Crimea.
The government of Niger says 46 soldiers and 28 civilians were killed over the weekend as troops battled Boko Haram militants for control of an island in Lake Chad.
Indonesia has executed 8 convicted drug traffickers, including 7 foreigners, authorities confirmed Wednesday, prompting strong condemnations from several countries.
South Korea's spy agency says North Korea's young leader Kim Jong-un has ordered the execution of 15 senior leaders this year.
And the election authorities in Togo have declared incumbent President Faure Gnassingbé the provisional winner of Saturday's election, continuing his family's long-standing hold on to power.
Chipo Chung, who stars as Mary Magdalene in a popular television series AD, The Bible Continues, currently being aired on NBC television network in the US and DSTV in Africa, says Zimbabweans living in the diaspora should work towards developing the country. Chung, a doctor of former freedom fighter Fei Chung, who once occupied some cabinet posts in President Robert Mugabe's government, believes that Zimbabwean citizens living in various nations will develop some deep love for the country if they maintain strong ties with people back home. In an exclusive interview with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube, Chung says acting on television has made her a global citizen, though she still remains a Zimbabwean. She speaks about her journey to stardom.
I'm a Zimbabwean. I'm always a Zimbabwean. There are hundreds of thousands of us, I suppose, who live in the diaspora, but we all love home. So I would call myself that first. I am half Chinese, so my ancestors did come from China. And much of my family lives in America and Canada and all around the world. So I very much have seen myself as a global citizen.
So now tell us, what have you been doing all along, you know, ever since you left school?
Well, I left school in Zimbabwe and went to study theatre, and I landed up training at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art in London, which is one of the most famous drama schools in the world. I always loved Shakespeare. I guess that's what happens coming from Zimbabwe. We do have a taste for British classics. And since then, I've been working in theatre and film and television. And the last 6 months, I've been working on the series AD, The Bible Continues, which is currently being shown in America on NBC and in Africa on DSTV, which I'm really thrilled about that it's going directly to Africa.
How many other films have you acted in?
I have not worked as much in film as in television. I was in a few times on a series called Doctor Who. That's very popular worldwide as well. And I've done Camelot, which was another American television series. But AD, The Bible Continues, is the series that I'm most excited about. It's a story that has so much meaning to people all around the world. And I'm playing a character that's been played out in art. I play Mary Magdalene in AD, The Bible Continues. And she's a character who's been played out in art for the past 2,000 years. But our producers here for AD, The Bible Continues, have been very brave in casting a lot of the characters as African or people of color. And 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem, I think people would have been a diverse mixture of people because, of course, people were traveling through Jerusalem from Libya, from Egypt, going to Persia. And there was a lot of traffic and trade there. And at the same time, I think the diversity of the cast also represents that the church worldwide is very diverse and includes a lot of nationalities and colors to it.
Now tell me, how did you land that acting position?
Well, I've been acting in London for the past 10 years. And so the casting director did know of my work and basically submitted me to the executive producers. And so I did only one audition on tape, a screen test for them. Sometimes to get a pass in television, one goes through a lot of different screen tests, but I only did one and I got the part a week later. So some, I think with acting, there are some parts that are meant to be for you. And I guess this one is mine.
And we know that you are quite a big star, you know, but at the end of the day, people would like to know your opinion about certain things, you know, concerning Zimbabwe. What is your opinion of Zimbabwe's independence?
Well, of course, you know, we're a generation of younger people whose parents all fought and struggled for the liberation of our country. And I think the change doesn't happen overnight. And it's something that as citizens that we have to be committed to over time. So as a generation, I think we recognize that us who were born around independence time, that our time has come with responsibility. We're now adults and we have to, in whatever ways we do, whether through enterprise or through the arts or any other form, see what we can do to represent the country as positively as we can and work towards its future development, which is what, you know, our parents' generations did. And now the onus is on us. And I think many of the diasporans around the world still feel a very deep love and connection to Zimbabwe, wherever we are. And I hope that we are able as diasporans to contribute.
That was Chipo Chung, one of the stars of a New Testament drama, A.D., The Bible Continues, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from New York, USA. The series, voted the most watched cable miniseries of 2013, traces the beginning of Christianity and the trials and tribulations of Jesus Christ and his disciples. A.D., The Bible Continues, produced by Mark Bennett and Roma Downey, was shot in the desert and rocky terrains of Morocco.
Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa says there is need for Zimbabwe to have a conducive environment for attracting direct foreign investment in order to revive the country's ailing economy. His remarks come at a time when the International Monetary Fund recently projected that the country's economy will grow by less than 3% this year. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo has more details.
Addressing a business conference in Bulawayo today on the sidelines of the Zimbabwe International Trade Fair, which kicked off yesterday, Mnangagwa said straightforward national policies are also key ingredients for turning around the economy.
Several initiatives have also been put in place to improve the business environment, which seeks to identify the impediments to doing business in Zimbabwe, as well as come up with reforms to improve the situation. It is important to know that most of these reforms do not require money, but only a change in our approach to business. These are the reforms we should implement expeditiously as we demonstrate our renewed zeal to develop our economy.
Speaking at the same occasion, Deputy Industry Minister Chiratidzo Mabua said companies operating in Zimbabwe should sell processed commodities to various nations instead of raw materials. Mabua said this would ensure that the country fully benefits from its national resources while at the same time creating thousands of jobs for local people. She noted that Zimbabwe should rehabilitate roads and the national power grid if it wants to attract reasonable international investors.
In order to effectively boost Zimbabwe's competitiveness, capacity utilization, and the stimulation and promotion of exports, some fundamental issues need to be addressed, which include the rehabilitation and development of infrastructure, the stimulation of the domestic goods markets, the creation of an efficient labor market, and the development of a vibrant and competitive financial market.
Reacting to Mnangagwa and Mabua's remarks, ZimTrade chairperson Sitembile Pilime said it is not easy for local businesses to add value on the country's natural resources due to various challenges, including lack of capital. This year's Zimbabwe International Trade Fair, running under the theme Stimulating Exports, Seizing Opportunities to Accelerate Growth under Zim Asset, will be officially opened Thursday by Zambian President Edgar Lungu. Several countries and local exhibitors are attending the annual event. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Tatenda Gumbo.
Thanks, Tatenda. The Harare Festival of the Arts entered its second day in Harare today, with many activities taking place in different venues. Founder of TV Yangu, Munya Dodo, who attended one such workshop, tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye, international artists shared with local participants different ways of utilizing social media to gain a foothold into the lucrative entertainment sector.
IFA Day 2 is an amazing day. Today, we started off at the Impact Conference that's happening there for musicians and everybody involved in the music industry. And they had a great turnout. There's artists from Ghana, industry experts from Universal Studios, and local artists coming through and just sharing ideas on how they can capitalize on the digital space that's growing and how artists can capitalize on that. So we spent the whole day networking, and after that, attended some shows and met a couple of artists. A lot of Zimbabwean artists who came from the diaspora around, and it was just a fun time of this networking and getting to know what everyone is up to.
You have been speaking about the importance of social media and how artists are sharing how they are using social media to improve their space in the marketplace. What's your takeaway?
The social media kind of levels the playing field. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. You can use the same tools that an artist in America or Europe is using and have the same impact. Like today, Manifest in Ghana just shared a lot of stuff that he's done in Ghana. For example, like just creating that base of followers.
That was the founder of TV Yangu, Munya Dodo, speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye from Harare.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will be talking with listeners and experts about SADC integration attempts amid serious economic challenges in the region.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios.
And now to recap today's top stories.
The Post and Telecommunications Regulatory Authority of Zimbabwe has cancelled Telecel Zimbabwe's license to provide national cellular telecommunications services in the country.
President Robert Mugabe says foreigners in South Africa should leave that country, as some of them, including Zimbabwe's Kalangas, are engaging in criminal activities.
And a former Hurungwe West Member of Parliament Themba Mliswa is threatening to take top ZANU-PF officials to the International Criminal Court for gross human rights abuses.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, wishing you a pleasant evening.